The Radio Today programme with Broadcast Bionics, creators of Phonebox and Oasis. Welcome to the social studio.
Well, thank you for being there on this auspicious occasion. It's the 100th weekly podcast from radiotoday.co.uk. So from me, Trevor Dan, and all the Radio Today team, thanks to our sponsors, Broadcast Bionics, to all our contributors, and of course to you for listening. Our next century starts with Scott Taunton and Richard Maddock next week, and we'll try to keep up the standard for another century at least. Now, in this episode, we say goodbye to one of the stalwarts of BBC Radio, Alan Deadly Dedicote, who's leaving BBC Two next week. We'll have news from Roy Martin and David Lloyd's radio moments as usual, but first, the Sound Women Future Festival. Clara Amfo, Helen Zaltzman and Stephanie Hurst were just some of the delegates at the event last weekend, and we were honoured to be represented by a guest reporter. Amy Vos is half of the award-winning breakfast show partnership Sam and Amy at Gem 106 in the East Midlands, and she's one of UK radio's brightest female stars. Here's her report.
Hello, I'm Amy Vos here at BBC's Broadcasting House for Sound Women's Future Festival 2015. Now, hopefully you can hear me. That right there is the sound of some intense networking taking place. There is a massive turnout today, which on the one hand is brilliant for Sound Women, but it also means that I did just miss out on a free pastry. But then I suppose that's not what today is about. It's about the future of women in radio, podcasting and much more. So here are some of the highlights. Clara Amfo, you've been hosting today. Can I just say, you've got this like white shirt with the black stripes. I've got a black dress with white stripes. Does that make... I feel a bit cooler now.
I'm feeling the synergy between us. This is the sisterhood in full effect.
This is brilliant news for me.
I love it. Dual fashion choices. Very much into it.
So, not a bad 2015 so far. Radio 1, second female host of the chart show. That's not enough. Let's get rid of Cotton. I'll take her show, thanks.
Well, I don't think it was okay, so let's get rid. Just to be clear, Fern is leaving off her own accord after 10 great years at the station. There's no hook around the neck. But this year has definitely been very surreal, I have to say. Like, I'm still a little bit shell-shocked by the whole thing, if I'm going to be blatantly honest. Like, obviously, I can't wait to get on with the new role. But, I'm still just a little bit like, really? Wow, okay. But I'm obviously going to do it, and I can't wait to get started.
Yeah, you wouldn't go, actually, no, I'm not sure about this.
No. It was a no-brainer saying yes, a no-brainer completely.
So Sound Women, is this one of the first events you've done, or...?
This is the first Sound Women event that I have been to, but I've been aware of them for, I think at least the past 2 years at the very least. But yeah, you know, I've always heard good things because, you know, Gemma Kenny's a good friend of mine, and I know she's been involved in the past. So is DJ Monkey, who's on One Extra and Radio 1 too. They've been involved before in the past. I think Annie Mack and Annie Nightingale have both done things like with Sound Women. So I've been very aware of, you know, the kind of kudos that they have, you know, amongst female broadcasts. And I think the great thing about this event is it doesn't fetishise the gender issue. You know, it's like, okay, we're all doing cool stuff. We all want to help each other. And we all just happen to be... Or just happens to be women, I really like the feel of that. It doesn't feel patronising. It's not, you know, anti men. It's just we're all just women doing some cool stuff, and we want to like share our skills and knowledge.
Yeah, I felt like Fee Glover in the intro. Really, the message she put across about saying we're not trying to take over radio. It's about it being fair.
Absolutely.
And I think a lot of people don't realise that, you know, one in five female voices on the radio. You know, only one in eight solo breakfast shows presenter. That's quite a shocking fact. And you just, I think, like you said, I don't feel at any point like I've really been discriminated against, but there's something that it's just not quite, it's not balanced yet.
I mean, statistics are statistics, but, you know, again, I can only speak from my own personal experience, and I have been, it's crazy actually, I've been fortunate and lucky enough to have been raised up by brilliant women in this industry. Like, the first person to employ me in radio was a female. You know, the women that I work around are incredible. Actually, my first producer at One Extra was a female. My new editor is going to be surprised, female, like, you know, and just even my peers, like, there are women that who have mentored me and who I look up to and who I now work alongside, who have just made me feel it's possible. I've never thought, oh my gosh, no, I don't have a shot because of the people that I've been surrounded by.
Do you think there's anything have you taken some invaluable lessons away today?
Well, absolutely. I mean, it's that age-old thing. I think especially with events such as this, I'm definitely going to be walking away today feeling even more grateful for the great position that I've been afforded for the years of graft. Just inspired and excited, actually, just about, you know, the future of this thing we call radio. No, but seriously, I am excited because, you know, I love to listen to radio in its traditional form. Like, I obviously now most of of us have all got like DAB and stuff, you know, I listen online and I love good podcasts. And, you know, seeing how excited people are for the future of those things and how they genuinely do have a passion to like keep it moving excites me. And, you know, I'm excited to see how it's going to affect me too.
I think that's the thing most people take away from today is the kind of positivity and Absolutely. Confidence building as well.
Yeah, 100%.
All right, well, thank you very much, Carla. I look forward to the show. Best of luck.
Thank you. I'm covering on Monday if you want to tune in.
One of the talks that I loved today was from Radio Academy Award winners Livy and Chrissy from BBC Radio Bristol, who discussed women of a certain age on the radio, and they certainly won't be letting anything get in their way.
We think that you've got to have women of a certain age in radio right now. Now is the future because, hello, younger women, they've got to have that role model. They've got to be confident that they can see women in jobs, 40, 50, 60, you know, even in Zimmer frames. We don't need to stand up. We can sit down. But it's a role model for younger women. And also, as we're going to talk about, we think women of a certain age bring a lot to the table. And, you know, there's a certain sort of je ne sais quoi that you acquire as you grow, you know, along life's path. And I think we bring that to the table, do you, Livy?
Oh, definitely. I mean, women of a certain age, I mean, women of our age and older than us need to have role models. Where are the women with wrinkles and bingo wins and spare tyres?
This is it. It's not enough.
It's not enough. And they feel lonely. They feel like they don't exist. We need to be representing it so they feel that there are people out there on the radio and the TV that represent them. Because otherwise, who are they? They're going to be in their slippers, in their tweed skirts. That's it. Job done.
I agree. They
stop
need
a biscuit in your mouth.
Just stop
How
a biscuit.
Can you talk and stop
How unprofessional.
Here?
Come on.
Women need to see other women eating biscuits. No, seriously, women need to see women. They need to see themselves mirrored. Then they need to see themselves mirrored with women having fun, having a laugh. Being out there.
Sexy. You're allowed
sexy,
to still be sexy.
Yeah? You know, just all those things that somehow society says you're not anymore.
Yeah, there's definitely a feeling because at the stage I'm at, I'm in my 30s now, and I think I definitely just automatically feel, well, once I start having kids and I sort of get to, I don't know, early 40s, I think, well, what do I do after that commercial radio especially? I don't know where I would be placed. So how do you think we will progress?
You'll just progress. There's no reason for you to ever stop. The fact that you have children will make you wiser, will make you smarter. There will be other women listening to you that will have children that will love you. Then you'll have grandchildren, and then you'll be able to talk about that, and they will love you. We need to keep being represented. There's no stopping. Women don't need to stop. Who's stopping us?
And why do you think there's so few female duos on the radio? I mean, barely any.
Well, they don't take the insults, do they? I mean, I really insult her most of the show, and she really tolerates it, don't you?
Yeah, most of the time I do indeed.
I like the sound of the show. Ladies, thank you very much. Have a great afternoon.
Thank you. Lovely to meet you.
Okay, so just finished our first session, which was hashtag Honey, I Broke the Internet, which was all about digital and social content online and the best way of doing that. Great advice from Rhian Roberts from Radio 4, also Kelly Redmond, who does pieces for Six Music and Radio 2. And the best bits I took away from that were how to tell a self-contained, entertaining story with your content. Also keeping close to what you're doing, keeping the conversation going. Ask questions that provoke a reaction and engage with your audience. And also ask yourself if it's shareable, if it's something that you would share. If it was on someone else's feed, would you retweet it? Which is actually something I never think about. And finally, that Instagram is taking over Twitter, which is brilliant news because it means I get to tweet more pictures of sunsets and sunrises. Hashtag no filter. Podcasting has also been high on the agenda today, which is pretty helpful as that's what I've been doing. So I had a chat with the podcast queen from Answer Me This and The Illusionist, the lovely Helen Zaltzman.
I don't know whether a very comprehensive survey has been done, but figures from a couple of years ago that were using a relatively small sample group were saying that it's maybe 1 in 10 podcasts hosted by a woman. But I think now a lot more people are realising that podcasting is pretty easy to do and it's accessible technically. I think for a long time people were put off that they had to have specialist knowledge. I had no knowledge when I started and I just learned, because actually most of the editing is cutting and pasting, and if you have a phone you can use that as a mic, so it's not that bad. And so hopefully a lot more women are thinking, I could do that, rather than waiting to be allowed to do something. They could just do it.
But you say that, I think you're being quite modest, because I'm trying to do more and more podcasting, and I find it quite hard to sort of get into the environment, because you can record it anywhere. When you're in a studio, I can kind of get into that studio mode and do radio, but I find it kind of harder. So did you find when you started out, because did you do radio before podcasting?
Only tiny, tiny bits.
So I mean, did you find yourself re-recording and starting again and just doing loads of, when you first started out?
I still do the same amount of pickups and re-recording stuff now as then. And I think it's just because when you know that it's not live, you do find yourself in that space without even trying. When you tell you, oh, well, we're going to record this as live, your mind is not tricked. But I think it's one of the great strengths of podcasting, the fact that you can edit it, you can change it. It gives you the freedom to try things that might not work. Whereas on live radio, I'm imagining that is a rather more controversial tack to take.
True. And, well, I don't know. We give it a good go.
Yeah, well, you're a pioneer.
That's not necessarily a good thing.
But I'm podcasting from my living room, which is not even a studio environment at all. But I guess I'm just used to that now. And when I'm in a radio studio, I feel I've got my radio head on. Mm. Not like the bands. That's nothing to do with the band.
That would be a big statement.
Yeah, having all the members of Radiohead sitting on my head.
Yeah, that's a good visual. Yeah. So I do feel like events like this is a real thirst for it for women to get involved. What's the one piece of advice to get them going?
I'm not sure there's been one take-home piece of advice so much as just a great sense of positivity. And it didn't feel like the event was going, it was banging a feminist drum or anything. It was just a great room full of people, most of whom were female, but not all, gathered together and being quite upbeat and listening to talks about a great diversity of stuff and just thinking, you know, what is possible and everyone should help each other. And things that sound quite mawkish now when I repeat them, you know, be yourself, help each other, band together. But there's just a lot of, I suppose, corporate overlay that covers up actual human endeavour in every business, but in radio as well. And that means that the content can get lost and the people can get lost. And it just reminds you of these great people that are working away behind the scenes.
Stephanie Hurst, you've been hosting Sound Women Future Festival 2015 today. How did it go?
Do you know what? I absolutely adored it. It's brilliant. To be on that stage in the BBC Radio Theatre, inside what I call the mothership.
I knew you'd be geeking out.
Oh, yeah, I've got a plaster model of Broadcasting House in my living room at home.
Oh, is that yours? Because I saw you tweet that, but I thought that was in here.
No, it's mine. It's mine.
That's adorable.
Oh, no, I look at it and go, hi, mother. I call it, not after my mum or anything like that. I just call it the mothership. And then to be on that stage where so many legends have stood inside the BBC Radio Theatre is, yeah. And I've lost my voice a little bit. It's a bit croaky.
That's all right.
It's all right.
Couple of glasses of wine. You'll be fine.
I had some booze. BBC booze as well.
Was there anything today that kind of stood out where you thought, wow, I wasn't really aware of that?
There was a lady who asked a question earlier. She was part of a male-female duo.
I remember this question.
The question. And she talked about the fact that when she was off, the male co-host continued to do the show on his own. When he was off, she couldn't do it on her own. Why? Why not? Why not? Why isn't she good enough to host that show on her own?
Exactly.
Well, she's good enough to do it with the male host. Why? Why not? And if I was programme director, I'd have said, yeah, hell yeah, go on.
Just move quickly on podcasting, because I know podcasting was a big part of today, and there's even less women in podcasting than there is in radio. Is that something you're interested in?
Yeah, I mean, I thought about podcasting when I first came off, and I wanted to wait. I've had a few ideas and some stuff I want to do, but I think I'm not holding off, but I want it to be right. I just didn't want to, because I wasn't on the air. I needed a bit of time out. And yes, there is an itch to have a go again and to get back on, but it's doing the right stuff. And I do have some ideas. Podcasting is something I'd like to do. I want to do a variety of stuff because there's lots of strings to my bow. I just don't want to play Uptown Funk 4 times a day. I don't want to do it.
Well, we look forward to what's next.
Yeah.
Thank you very much for today, Stephanie. It was a good day.
I'm sorry if I've rambled.
So we've just all piled out of Radio Theatre for the final talks from today from the Sound Women Future Festival. Ended on such a high from Francesca Martinez, who's the stand-up comedian, actor, actress, writer and campaigner who was absolutely hilarious. She was having a chat with Clara Amfo, and it's hard to describe what her talk was like because she can't stand being called inspirational. So let's just say that she was super great. But unfortunately for her, she did actually seem to inspire everybody in the room with the things she was talking about, how our culture teaches us to criticise ourselves, and that the only things that have ever actually hindered her and got her down have never been her actual disability. It's been the way the world has been unable to deal with her disability. And just how sad it is that profit and consumerism rules us, and how our culture wants us to feel bad about ourselves. And it was one of those moments where you all wanted to stand up and just applaud. It was absolutely brilliant and such a great way to round up today's Sound Women Future Festival 2015. If you've never been before, male or female, you should come along. It's such an incredible day, and it's a great way to get talking to people as well. This is Amy Vose from BBC Broadcasting House. I'm going to have a glass of wine.
Richly deserved, Amy. Thank you for that. If you want to know more, go to soundwomen.co.uk. Let's have some news now from Roy Martin.
Thank you, Trevor, and welcome back, and congratulations on 100 episodes of the Radio Today programme. Here's to the next 100, hey? In the news this week, then, UTV faces competition from Asian FX to operate the Wolverhampton licence. Two bids have been received, and an announcement is expected within the next few months on who's winning. The Radio 1 chart show is moving to a Friday afternoon. The age-old tradition of the Sunday night countdown on the BBC will come to an end in the summer. And Ralph Bernard has received a Gold Award at the IRNs for his outstanding contribution to the commercial radio industry in a career spanning 35 years. Congratulations, Ralph. That's the very latest then from radiotoday.co.uk. I'm Roy Martin.
Thank you, Roy. After this message, we'll meet the voice of those balls.
Broadcast Bionics, creators of Phonebox and Oasis, offer you elegantly integrated products and intelligent one-stop shopping for all your studio needs. Discover a full range of innovative studio products. Play out by Wide Orbit, Music Master Scheduling, Stirlitz, Newsboss, Larvo, Telos, Axia, Omnia, Digigram and Commotion. Visit bionics.co.uk today.
Well, as befits the 100th edition of the Radio Today programme, we thought we ought to talk to a broadcaster who is 100 years old. I'm not sure that's fair,
How
is it?
How dare you?
Alan Dedicote, Deadly, Deaders. And you're going to be leaving Radio 2 very soon. You have been there pretty much most of the century, to be fair, haven't you?
I have indeed. You're absolutely right. That's the kindest way you could have put it. I've been there a long time. I've been there 28 years, actually. I've been in the BBC itself for 36 years, having worked at Radio Birmingham before Radio Devon. And then I went up to London in 85 on attachment. That's the BBC system where you can try the job, see if it suits you, and you suit them. And then there wasn't a job immediately. I was doing summertime cover, really. And then I came back in 87 for the job for real, and I've been there ever since, which is a good long time, isn't it, Trevor?
Well, it certainly is. You've survived a few different regime changes, haven't you, at Radio 2?
I've seen a few controllers out.
You've seen them in and you've counted them all out. What's been, do you think, the kind of story of Radio 2 in the last quarter of a century?
I think it's been a period of change, Trevor, to be honest. There was a time, I think, when I joined it, where people weren't really sure whether they wanted to be seen as being part of Radio 2. Whereas now, I think everybody, well, pretty well everybody is, proud.
It was a bit kind of cardigans and slippers, wasn't it, for a while?
It was very sort of old style.
Actually, you did have some very nice cardigans. So
you never complained when I passed them on to you, either.
I think we fitted in very well.
Absolutely. But I tell you what, I mean, the thing I will remember most, I mean, there are lots of things that I will remember. But the thing I'll remember most is that I was lucky enough to do 15 years with the greatest living Irishman.
Indeed you did. And he, I suppose, in a sense, in a small way, I think he made you a star, didn't he, Dudley?
He did indeed. He even gave me the title, the voice of the balls, you know. Did
he?
I started doing the lottery. But yeah, I joined really when he was still at television. And then when he came back, they wanted a team of people to work with him, reading the news and just generally joshing around a bit. Travel, all that sort of stuff we did in the very early days. And he's just so easy to get on with, that guy. I mean, what you see is what you get, undoubtedly. And it was just 15 years of constant laughter. A lot of it I couldn't tell you about even here. Even here. But and certainly not on air. But it was just a joy. I had to get up at some ridiculous time in the morning to read the early news before he started. But you sort of think, well, this is actually worth it. I was looking forward to driving into work in all sorts of weathers. But it was because you were going to have so much fun from the word go when Terry arrived.
Of course, commercial radio people often raise an eyebrow or two about what exactly an announcer is, and or indeed, I suppose we could almost say now was. I mean, the Radio 2 took over, didn't it, from the Light programme, the idea that there was a team of people who, I suppose, grew up doing continuity between programmes, but gradually, often in the case of the Wogan Show, became people who were part of it. Are we now seeing the end of
what happened? There aren't many stations now that still have announcers. There's Radio 4, of course, and the BBC World Service. But most of the staff announcers at Radio 2 went about 2 or 3 years ago. So for me, in a way, the writing was on the wall. But I did do other things, and I still do other things for the next week and a bit. So I look after Royal Obits and evacuations and contingency planning, that sort of stuff. So that's how I sort of carried on for a little bit longer. But it's a headcount thing in the end, Trevor. I think people, you know, the BBC's got to save money because now it's having to pay out of the ordinary licence fee for the World Service as well, which used to be a grant in aid from the Foreign Office. So that's what's happened. Monumental changes in the way the BBC's funded. So, you know, it's just one of those things. And also, I mean, obviously, for a man of your standing, and we've known each other many years now, you probably won't believe that I'm actually 60. Unbelievable. Incroyable, as the French would say. But I am. I've hit the magic 60. I never thought I'd get here, to be honest. A lot of people sort of agreed with me a few months ago when I did turn 60. But, yeah, so it's time. I'm seeing it as a way of just taking the foot off the accelerator a bit. That's what I'm doing, and nothing more than that. I'll still carry on doing the lottery. I'll still do Strictly. I'll still do Dancing with the Stars, the American version of Strictly, all being well. Let's all touch wood and hope for the best on all of those fronts. It's just Radio 2, in a way, that I'm just taking a break from, and then I'll sort of help them if they ask me to go back to help with a bit of voice coaching and all that sort of stuff. I don't mind, but I'm getting old, Trev. I'm getting old.
Oh, come along. You're still a young man. Now, listen, your Radio 4 colleague Charlotte Green, of course, has gone on to become a personality presenter at Classic FM. Surely the phone will be ringing, won't it, Dadders?
Well, I'm open to offers. I'm open to offers. But I've been exploiting, as Wogan used to call it, the relentless pursuit of the mighty dollar. I've also been pursuing the corporate sector. I'm unashamedly telling you that now. So I've been courting the people in that area. So I'm to be seen in places like Park Lane more frequently than I was a few years ago in recent months. So, I'm diversifying. I'm spreading my wings. That's what I'm doing. So don't write me off yet, people.
Nobody has written you off,
and I'm still enjoying it.
It's lovely to talk to you. I just want to end by, I mean, you talked very lovingly, I think it would be fair to say, about your time on Wogan's Breakfast Show. Are you any closer, having gone through that, to understanding what it takes to create an atmosphere like that on the radio? Because many have tried to create that zoo and made it work, and many have tried and not made it work. You know, what's the recipe, Alan?
Well, I think with any zoo, it depends on the animals inside there, to be honest. I think it's to do with knowing your place in the zoo, and that includes him, actually. He was very good. If you came up with a good line, a good payoff to a gag, he would just back off and play the music. And that is sensational, because very often the zookeeper or the leader of the pack wants to dominate throughout. He's not interested in that. He's unbelievably generous. And that, to me, was the key, really. And we were all different. There were different people with him. Originally, we started with six people. We got down to three in the end, the people that he felt that he bonded with. But it was a trust. We all had different roles to play. There was Paulie Walters, if you remember, the producer in the background.
I do.
Who had a key part in it all as well. It's trust, it's generosity, it's a sense of fun, and it's knowing what the listener might find funny as well. I don't think we ever strayed out of that sort of zone at all. And I think some people, when I hear it, as I drive around the country and I hear the zoo format in use, it doesn't always work. But I think with us, it did. And it must have done. It lasted 15 years.
Well, Alan Dedicote, Dedders, we wish you every success. I'm sure you'll continue to prosper. We look forward to hearing you again. Thanks for talking to the Radio Today programme.
A pleasure, Trevor. Thank you for asking.
The Radio Today programme with Broadcast Bionics.
We start this week in 1974 and a new name at Radio 1.
Overnight Tuesday. Good morning.
And a very good morning to you. Chart day, of course, today. 12:45, we'll be getting to that chart. Just ahead of the number one, the top 40 countdown at 1 o'clock. The Ramones start us off.
Paul Burnett, who debuted on Radio 1 this weekend in 1974. 13 years ago this week, a new station for Yorkshire.
Yorkshire's best variety of music and talk. This is 106 to 108 FM. This is Real Radio. I've been dying to say that for ages. We're here. We're finally here. Hello, good morning, and welcome. Sound like David Frost. We're here. We're finally here. It's great to be here. We'll introduce you to my co-host in just a while because I need someone to to help me do this. Also, some surprises.
Hello, Real Radio Yorkshire this week in 2002. It's now Heart. And it's 6 years now since the Heart brand spread on the transmitters of these stations.
Closer to you.
Radio 210.
Fox FM.
GWR FM.
Sound. Yes, 210 FM, Fox, GWR, Orchard, Seven Sound, Gemini, Lantern, Plymouth Sound and South Hams Radio. Farewell to those names and hello to Heart this week, 6 years ago. This week in 1978, the deep voice of Tom Brown hosted his last Radio 1 Top 20.
Wuthering Heights from Kate Bush at number one for the third week in a row. And that's all from me, Tom Brown, and my producer, Bernie Andrews. I've much enjoyed doing this show, as I'm sure will Simon Bates, who takes over the Top 20 from next Sunday onwards, so be sure to listen in. Have a lovely Easter, and don't forget that Radio 1 is back tomorrow at 8 o'clock with Ed Stewart and Junior Choice.
What a voice. Tom Brown ending his days on Radio 1 this week, 37 years ago. We probably don't hear enough women's voices on Radio Moments, so let's remedy that now with a few real stars. Muriel Young died this week 14 years ago. Back in the early 60s, she was one of the very first female DJs on Radio Luxembourg.
We did not know at EMI whether the Beatles were good, bad or indifferent. It was such an extraordinary sound. It was quite unlike anything we'd ever heard. And they all arrived to be interviewed in the show with the audience. They all had terrible bad colds and they couldn't hear the sound of Single Air Ballroom and they were in a terrible state. And I had to interview John and he was wobbling like a jelly.
Farewell, Muriel Young. The BBC's first woman commentator was Olga Collett. And this week in 1939, she famously filled for half an hour whilst the French president was late. And you can hear here how she's someone not to be messed with.
Now, let's go to this first broadcast on fashion, because you did the fashion rather than the racing from Ascot.
I never did anything of the sort, and you happen to put your finger on a very sore point. I refused from the start to be a woman commentator. I said I will be a commentator or nothing. I will not describe fashions, and I never did.
The remarkable Olga Collett. A fascinating commentary was aired this week in 1949. It was for the boat race. At the mic, John Snagg.
Oxford about, I think, 5 or 6 feet ahead. That's about all. They're coming up now. They're both crews ripping up the stroke and coming into rail fighting finish. They're both crews obviously had the most grueling race, one of the greatest races that had ever been, ever boat races ever had. And the perfect conditions too. Oxford in the lead, I think. I don't know, but I think. It's almost neck and neck. It's level, I should think. I'm not quite sure. It must be level. Cambridge picking up the stroke. I think Cambridge are ahead. I don't know who's ahead. It's either Oxford or Cambridge.
John Snagg. This week in 1965 saw the start of the BBC Music Programme, with daily broadcasts of classical music between 7 o'clock a.m. and 6.30 p.m. on the transmitters of the third programme, Network 3.
You will have seen in your Radio Times the details of the new music programme which starts today. This is the gentle beginning which will gather strength until by next March the BBC will broadcast more than twice as much good music as now.
Seems like a good idea to me. Now, the BBC used to have fairly posh newsreaders, and then came the first one discernibly from the north. It was said that his accent was more difficult for the Nazis to impersonate. He died this week in 1978.
This is the BBC Home and Forces programme. Here's the news. This is Wilfred Pickles reading it. This morning's news of Japan's aggression is of successful countermeasures against the invasion of Malaya. There have also been reports of enemy attacks on Thailand and Hong Kong. At Shanghai, the Japanese have taken over the international waterfront and sunk the British gunboat Petrel.
He was so very northern, wasn't he? Wilfred Pickles, who died this week 37 years ago. He also hosted many other BBC programmes.
Yes, we're back once again with Have a Go. And to bring us back, we've come to Ramsbottom. And you can't go further back than that.
I can't quite imagine Wilfred doing justice to the Galaxy strapline. This week, 7 years ago, it changed from passion for music, passion for life, to love music. It's 69 years since the world's longest-running speech programme began.
I want to tell you what it's like to come back to the United States after a sobering month in Britain, and say what daily life feels and looks like by comparison.
Letter from America, which began this week in 1946. So with Beacon Radio in Wolverhampton starting broadcasting round the clock 37 years ago...
Hello, my name's Bob Snyder. And being a bit of a night bird, I'm more than pleased Beacon has gone 24 hours. And I'm even more pleased that I'm part of it.
Sue Lawley taking over Desert Island Discs 27 years ago.
Lord Hailsham, it's going to be hot, but beautiful. Lonely, but peaceful.
A listener launching Free Radio in the Midlands 3 years ago.
My name's Nick Wall. I'm a listener.
Smooth Radio 100.4 in the Northwest launching 9 years ago. And Gold leaving AM and DAB everywhere, apart from the East Midlands, London and Manchester this week last year.
This is Gold.
Those are this week's Radio Moments.
Radio Moments.
Cheers, David. Thanks also to Amy Vose and Alan Dedicote. Shall we have cake and wine? I think so. Cheers. See you next week.
The Radio Today programme with Broadcast Bionics.